Well, this morning is Discipleship Sunday, and so one of the things that is uniquely different is that means our time together will be more of a conversation than it will be a teaching. More so, should I say, the teaching should be us as one another teaching us. Because we believe that, you know, when the Bible talks about ironing, sharpening iron, it doesn't just mean that you come and one person is the only one in your entire life who sharpens you. That means that you have a community that gathers together that you believe that God has called you to, that begins to learn deeper what it means to understand His goodness, His grace, His mercy, His love, His peace, and His patience. And so we are going to be here listening to the Word, asking honest questions, sharing from our stories, and sharpening one another together. And so this morning, one of the things that we say every week is that we are disciples of Jesus, that at Pine Lake we believe that our lives are to be apprenticed after Jesus. And so what that means for us is it has a threefold test, is to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to do what Jesus did. And so this morning we are going to talk about this understanding of that we are invited to grow. And so what you'll notice is as we come, is we'll have two runners that we, as we continue to share with each other. Bradley's going to be on this side, and then Ellie will be over here. And so if you have something to contribute, which I encourage you to, just wave one of them down and wait until the microphone comes to you so that everybody can hear you both in the room and online. And so the question this morning, I want to read our text first before we start so that we understand where we're landing. It says this in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. So then, just as you have received Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. And so the question I want us to start us off with is, where do you feel rooted in Christ? Where do you feel like that you're rooted and growing? If you want to go to one more. What do you feel like where you're rooted in Christ? I know the first one's always hard. Where do you feel rooted in Christ? Yeah, we have someone coming. Yep.
Well, it's easy to get off during the day and get distracted by all sorts of things. So for me, it's in prayer. Spending that time trying to draw close, and it's very intentional.
Yeah. Yeah, so prayer is one of the ways in which we daily can root ourselves in time and space that fits, where we feel like we are either wanting a deeper rootedness or we feel like we are shaking. Yep.
I don't know about on a day-to-day basis, but I think fundamentally. So I feel my fundamental belief roots me in Christ, so that's my core.
Yeah. So in the text is like, just as you had received Christ, that good news of the gospel, that seed that is there begins to build a foundation, right? That rootedness starts to just be planted and then begins to germinate and then root. Yes. We all are rooted in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that He came, He lived the life that that we should have lived, He died the death that we deserved, and He was risen to new life in Christ. This is the gospel. Yeah, what else? Where do you feel like you're rooted in Christ?
I feel like especially when I get to worship in community, it just like settles me and roots me in Christ again. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why we again gather weekly, right? Because other than that, like what, you know, Jason and what Ralph said is like, you know, you try to find that rootedness wherever you can find it. But this is why the church gathers together on a weekly basis, because it comes in regularity, consistency. Yeah.
So I think the word rooted, for me, it's knowing His unfailing love. Yeah. And then as Psalms calls us to do, to just remember everything that He's done. And for me, prayer is my SOS line.
Yeah.
But, you know, just constantly remembering that he knew me before I was even born, and He loves me, and He's always there.
Yeah. Let's share, but maybe another caveat for maybe people that are struggling, be like the antithesis. Where are you tempted to root yourself in other things?
Okay. if I'm going the opposite way.
Oh, sorry, I just threw a curveball.
No, it's okay. No, nice. It's okay. That's actually easy, relatively. So mine would generally be like when I'm alone. Sometimes there's a time and a place for being alone, but I think if I'm alone for too long, and I'm just like not being reminded by the people who both love me and hold me accountable. When I'm just isolated from them, that's when I feel very uprooted, and not in a good way.
Yeah. Introverts, hear me. There's nothing wrong with being by yourself. Okay? But one of the things that I think we often forget as a Western society is that we often read Scripture in an individualistic, isolationist, my personal faith over anything else. When the Scripture was written communally, not only to gather together, but to hear together, to grow together, right? Like, inherently in the text that we're talking about, Colossians, we read it as God's letter to us, but it was written as Paul's letter to the people of the church, for all people. Where do you feel tempted to be rooted in something else? Yeah, busyness, right? Oh my gosh, here's my calendar, and it's like, where, Jesus, do I fit you in here, right? Like, it's just from one thing to another. And I think whether it's jobs, whether it's raising kids, right, whether it's trying to spend time with friends, hobbies, who has a hobby anymore, right? You know, Jesus is my hobby, right, as I should say as a pastor. I know, nobody left, okay, yeah.
I'm going to generalize and go out on a limb and say when I'm serving with others in a way that others could get to know Jesus. So not so much dependent on me, but dependent on being a part of the team that helps others know.
That togetherness.
Jesus. Yes.
Right? We are not in isolation. We don't live by ourselves. So one of the questions that I also have is, what does, when it talks about that, Paul talks about, like, when you rooted and built up, this idea of, like, rootedness, what do roots tell us about our spiritual formation? I don't know, it's a little bit harder. Think a little bit. What do roots tell us about spiritual formation? How we are formed? Well, so, yeah, you have to use the mic. One second. Yeah, we're going to do Micah, and then we'll do Terry.
Is this thing okay? Yeah, this one. I think this is kind of interesting because when you said how we feel rooted, it makes me think immediately there needs to be a seed that's planted at some point.
Yep.
And usually it's planted by somebody like your parents or just a random person who's talking to you. Mm-hmm. So these roots have to grow into something. So I think it's kind of interesting thinking of like it's growing into community or it's growing into cheese. Sorry, I had to say cheese because I said I was going to say cheese today. So
yeah. Yeah, let's come over here to Terry Bradley, and then we'll come over to Daniel.
Okay, I'm really excited about this because I'm a gardener. So
yeah.
I just looked it up. I didn't know this before, but the Greek root, the root is rhizome. It's the base for the word that we get for rhizome, which is if you planted dahlias, anything. And for me, it means that I'm buried in Christ, and I'm rooted. Christ is all around me and in me, and that's how I'm growing. So spiritual formation is what he said, too.
Yeah. Yeah, Danielle.
So when I was thinking about roots and spiritual formation, what do the roots tell us?
Yeah.
Well, one, you can tell how deep they are.
Mm.
And two, you can also tell when they need more water.
Mm. Yeah. So in that place of one of the scriptures I love, in the Old Testament, the prophets, is it says that the Lord is calling his people to till up the fallowed ground, which if you are a gardener, it's the, at the winter when you come into spring, if you don't till up the hard, crusty layer that you plant seeds, they won't get through. And so the scripture is talking about when you break up the fallowed ground is you have to take that old, crumble it up, not to throw it away, but there's richness underneath there, that you have to do the hard work of breaking up some of the hard parts in our lives in order to get and allow our roots to be Growing deep. Yeah.
I'm going with the gardener thing too.
Yeah, we're there.
So a couple of years ago I planted this tree and I was like, this is the perfect spot, it's going to be great, but I didn't read the tag of it, said it needed a lot of sun. And so slowly I realized it was in full shade and I was like, I should move it this year. And I was thinking, like, this root ball is going to be huge. It's going to be super tough to move.
Yeah.
I pulled it out, and it was so tiny. I was like, are you still alive? I killed the tree. And so I moved it, and we'll see if it comes back. But, like, in your question, it made me think of, like the things we're putting into our lives and our hearts, and not just, like, what's underground, but also, like, the daily actions we are feeding ourselves is what creates that root. And I killed the tree, so, you know.
Welcome to the club. I love it. I'm with you.
But, like, as part of that spirituality formation is, like, what's above the surface matters, too, if it's getting sunlight, if it's getting the proper conditions it needs.
Yeah, and both have to be, like, we often think about, you know, is that we talk so much about the roots underneath or the thing on top, and, like, one is more important. But, like, in a rooted plant, like, everything is important. Right? Sun, shade, roots. You know, could that tree withstand another bomb cyclone? Probably not. So that matters too. It's not just what you look like up on the top part where everybody sees, but the depth and what girds you when things are messy. Yeah.
I'm going to go off of a lesson I learned when I was like a wee little one back at Cedar Creek Covenant Church. My youth pastor, he stacked a ton of cups and then he like kind of blew on them and they fell over and because they didn't have a strong enough foundation.
Yeah.
But then when he put like more cups on the bottom and then like started stacking them up to the top, they were more sturdy. And so when I think of roots, it's like if your roots are deep enough, then when, like, the storms come, the tree won't fall.
Yeah.
And you also need roots for, like she was saying, for the tree to live. Otherwise, it's going to die. And I think that's a huge thing about spiritual formation is you need that foundation so that when you do face the storms in your life, you're not just going to topple over.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
You will be able to withstand the things that come at you. And Paul writes in Corinthians to the people of Corinth, talking about this idea of being rootedness, established. That rooted and established word are the same. And so in our translation, so they're rooted and established. And so in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, "For no one can lay any foundation other than one that has already been laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on a foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, straw, their work will be shown for what it is." See, the deepest part of our discipleship is often hidden. It isn't always visible. Like, no one, I'm going to any of your houses and I'm saying, "Hey, John, take me and show me your foundation." But if his foundation is rocked, and I'm going to be able to see it in all of the drywall that's cracking everywhere, right? What is happening deep in our discipleship, the work that is happening as an apprentice, is often hidden before it is visible. The cracks will, in my house of growing up in Texas, the foundation began to crack. We didn't know until we started seeing cracks where we could see it. When we start seeing cracks in our life where our faith is shaken, we shouldn't just look to replace the drywall. We should look at the foundation. Christ forms those roots deep beneath the surface through his word, through his spirit, through people, through the stories of faithfulness that we learn from one another. And so the question that it talks about is not only that you are rooted and established in Christ, but it says that you are growing. Where are you still growing? Are you still growing? Are you struggling to grow? Like, where are you growing? Where are you struggling to grow? Because I want to be honest. I know that it could be really easy to be like, "Oh, I'm still growing in all the positive ways." But even in my life, last night, in a whirlwind of days, I laid down And I struggle to end my day focusing on Jesus. And I know that's one of my priorities, because one of the things that I like to do is I like to sleep as late as possible and then run out the door. So I don't start my day with Jesus. Like, I'll just be honest about that. And so for me, it was really important, and I grew up and I knew the way that I was raised, that I'm a night owl, that I want to end my day with Jesus. But in the place in my life, I am finding it so much harder to prioritize Jesus over anything else in my life. Even when I have time, when all the kids are in bed, when my wife is in bed, I have a hard time prioritizing Jesus. I'm struggling in that place to find a priority. Where are you growing? Where are you struggling to grow?
I guess I'm struggling to grow in just the trust and the faith. It's like I look back over the years and I'm like, I know God's faithful. I know He's got me. But there's still that moment where you're like, well, I know you're going to be faithful, but how long do I have to wait?
Oh. You in the Psalms. How long shall I wait, O Lord? It's been days, months, years, decades. Still waiting. Yeah. Where are you growing? Where are you finding growth in your spiritual life right now? Or where are you finding it's a struggle for you to grow? Or even, here's the question. What are you wondering about when it talks about being rooted and growing in Christ? Do you even know what we're talking about? What that looks like? This is also a time to ask questions. Yeah.
I feel like one of the places that I'm still growing is, and I hate to use this word, but I have been deconstructing my faith.
Yeah.
After coming to Christ in my mid-30s, I was taught a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very legalistic, very conservative. This is how it is, and this is what you believe.
Yeah.
And I just am in the process right now of, what is Scripture saying to me?
Mm-hmm.
What is God saying to me?
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a beautiful journey. It's been difficult, but just letting the Spirit and God's Word speak the truth to me.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. It is okay at Pine Lake, and I think it's okay with Jesus. Can't speak for him, you know. To take the things that we felt like we learned and held on dear to them, it's okay to hold them loosely. It doesn't mean that Jesus, the Spirit, are going to snatch them from you. But I often like to think of Jesus talking to us and reminding us that we are but a pot, and He is the master who creates and crafts. He is the potter. We are just clay. That means that we are ever being molded. There's not always a finality to us. Like, I love that in Scripture in Philippians 1:6, that he who began a good work will see it through to completion. It doesn't mean like you'll be done and then Jesus puts His hands off when you get to 42. I'm done. So everybody else past 42? Good job. We're good. Yeah.
I hear this and I see, like, where am I still growing, struggling, and whatnot.
Yeah.
I don't really feel like I'm growing at the moment, but I love the fact of where you talk about the pot. I've been doing a lot of pottery and clay and whatnot, and I've been struggling greatly with just having so much pain hit me.
Yeah.
Cousin being murdered, like a lot of really heavy things, and I just feel just numb, incredibly numb. I'm struggling from just feeling numbness. Everyone's around me, and I see people, but I don't feel anymore. I'm just completely numb. And going back to the Corinthians, of what you're saying of like being with God and Christ, like when you go through the fire, it's very similar to the pottery that I've been working with. And it's still consistent. It's still there. And so for me, I feel like I, in a way where I feel like I'm not growing, I feel like I still am, because I'm still rooted in God. I'm still, He's there with me through this, through the numbness, through the just people are talking around me and I'm just lost in my thoughts of pain and numbness.
Yeah.
And feeling his closeness and feeling him. And so for, I guess, like in that, the season that I'm in right now, that's, in the end, when you make pottery, you know, you start with this raw, nasty clay, and then you burn it, you work with it again, you glaze it, you put it, and then it's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And I just love that right now, where I'm at right now, and hearing this message and the same Bible verse of, like, it's encouraging to me, where I feel like I've just been existing.
Yeah.
But really, God's here, you know. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we are always gravitated. We always gravitate towards the stories that finish well. We love Israel crossing the Red Sea. But we do not love the Israel that wanders for 40 years. We love Jesus' triumphal entry. But how often do we watch the punishment? You know? But that consistency that the Spirit, the same Spirit which was there at the beginning of creation, is there with. Which means that while you might feel like the nothing that you see visibly is growing, that's what I love, the roots are always digging deeper. Yeah. Question. This is, wait, do we have somebody? Oh, yeah. Sorry. Oh, I didn't see you. Gotta just put you.
All good. Okay. Go. So that really reminded me of, I was thinking about how roots are kind of, if you ever look at them, they kind of go in all different directions, and they go like down and then back up and down, but they always continue to grow. And I feel like when we're walking with Jesus and seeking him intentionally, it might not make us see the results or the linear success that we sometimes expect. And I think for me, it's been difficult to kind of accept that even when you're searching for God and he's walking alongside you and you're both like just walking alongside each other, it doesn't always make results that you expect to see, but you still are growing, even though when you look at the result of roots, they look a little bit messy and they go in a bunch of different directions, but it's still growing, just not always the way that we want them to see, like how our plan is for it.
You deeply work in my heart to say, what if we are as followers of Jesus, took Rena's words seriously, and even took the words of Jesus seriously, that we are not just a results-oriented disciples?
I normally wouldn't want to speak twice in one Sunday, but when you were speaking, I had a vision, and I'm going out on a limb here, and no pun intended, to say it, and you can tell me if it fits right, but I envisioned a huge forest fire in a blackened, burned landscape, scarring the land, and the time that it takes for God to landscape that and bring new life and growth. But the hope that's there amongst the charred woods and the burn and the scarred landscape, the hope that's just waiting to sprout. And so I hope that is of God and that's encouraging, but it does give me courage and hope to know that while we wait, God's not sitting, not doing anything. Mm. He's still at work, creating and healing. Mm.
You know, I think it's really interesting. Okay, I'll actually let these two go, and then I want to.
One of the things that I've been mulling over and growing with is the idea that participation is what the invitation is.
Mm.
And participation looks very different in different times.
Yeah.
But it is also an active choice.
Mm.
Whether or not it's a season where you are just strengthening roots, providing fertilizer, pruning.
Yeah.
And also checking on the leaves to see if they have if the plant has problems or anything like that. So the idea that we are active participants no matter the season, I think is the invitation that is happening.
Yeah, this constant invitation by the Spirit to do the good work. I even had a preaching professor talk to me in, you know, this discussion we had about, like, who does the work of preaching? Is it the Spirit or the preacher? And one of the things she said is, make sure that Jesus always does 51% of the work. But that doesn't mean that you get to slack off at the other 49. Yeah.
So going back to the gardening theme.
We're in it today.
I tried to be a gardener, and I even joined a garden club. But unlike Terry, I realized I wasn't very good at it. But I do like putting flowers in pots. So I feel like I'm growing when I'm studying the Bible. And I'm in Bible study, and I'm, you know, trying to study more and grow in my biblical knowledge. But where I struggled to grow, and what I found with some of my plants, is that I tried to get these two plants out of the pots, and they just weren't coming out. And I finally had to cut the plastic, and they were so root-bound. I couldn't even get the roots apart, and I feel like that's where sometimes my Bible knowledge goes. I study it, and then I study it so much that I have all these roots, and they get root-bound, and then I don't grow because I'm not, well, plants need light and water, and sometimes I'm not letting the light of Christ come in enough, and I'm not having the living water. And so I want to be like the plants that I plant, and they grow up pretty. And I want to, yeah. I want to be that person.
Dude, you're stealing my thunder, Kathy. This is why the Lord does 51% of the work. One question that I want to have, and I want to ask maybe one or two people to respond to this, but I have a really question that was just burning in my heart, is how can we honestly talk about growing without bringing shame or competition?
Just a clarifying question.
Great. I love it.
Shame and competition, do they need to be tied together, or is the question these two apart from each other?
Tell me more.
Well, I guess I feel like I really like competition. And so I hate when competition is like tied up with shame. Yeah. Are you saying I gotta be shameful of my competitive nature? So I think I just wanted to see, like, if I could still grow and still be competitive and not be ashamed of that. And then if the question about shame was kind of in its own thing, right? These are two independent feelings that you were inquiring about. So that's what my clarification was.
Yeah, that's a great clarification. Again, yeah. I mean, let's do a Bible memory verse challenge. Like, you and I, let's go. Like, nah, I'm just kidding. But yes, there is a place of competition. But there's also a place of that our competition, let's just be honest, in humanity right now, in our current existence, is competing with one another on how we look so much above the surface that it is innately woven into by the evil and into our society to look in isolation and shame be introduced into small ways of how, I mean, I look at this all the time. This is, you know, when you're just driving by and you look at, and I'll just be honest, other churches growing faster than us. And you say, what do they have that I don't have? Are we less faithful or more faithful? What is that? But I just want to talk honestly about this idea of, like, there is sometimes this competition that morphs itself into shame, or competition that can make us strive for results that are contrary to the core desire just to be more like Jesus because we desperately want him, not just because we look a little bit better than everybody else. Yeah.
Yeah, it reminds me of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, where there was very much competition going on. Oh, well, I follow Paul. Well, I follow Apollos. Yeah. And the really spiritual ones, well, I follow Jesus. Yeah. And Paul said, you know, neither Paul nor Apollos are anything. And he said, because I planted, Apollos watered, but God provides the growth. And so I think the problem is when we start to take credit for the growth that only God through His Holy Spirit gives, then we get into that pride thing. Or we see other people who seem to be growing faster and perhaps we feel shame, but we got to remember that God underneath that ground where no one else sees is growing us.
Yeah. This one.
A personal level rather than maybe a corporate competing level. There's a small book by Brother Lawrence called The Practice of the Presence of God, in which he describes going through his day in constant awareness of our Lord. And Dallas Willard challenges us in his book on the 23rd Psalm to do the same, to actually go through our day in a constant awareness of our Lord. So when we speak of growth, for me, that's a huge challenge. Every email, phone call, corporate meeting is an opportunity to reflect on, where are you, Lord? Help me with this. Give me clarity. And so there's so much about growth that pertains to you and me personally, it seems.
When I think of shame versus competition, shame in my mind is like, I'm ashamed to tell you that I haven't prayed enough or read the Bible enough like you might expect me to. And the opposite of that is competition. You know, I went to 4 Bible studies this week. What did you do?
But one more.
Was this on? Okay. for the, like, just specifically the question, how do we talk about growth honestly with each other without creating shame or competition? I think another, like, not to be, like, ashamed of your competition, but when there is competition, if you feel like you're on the losing side, there is shame. And I think, like, just to not be gentle and maybe slap a few people in the face, like, a lot of this has to do with pride. Just swallow your pride. Because when you're trying to, like what he was saying, when you're trying to be above someone else and you're not actually trying to pursue your personal journey with Jesus, but you're just trying to make it seem like you are to others, that's when everyone feels that shame. So, like when you're, like the verse when it's like you're trying to take a speck out of someone's eye when there's a plank in yours. When someone's talking about their growth, hold back. Like, don't start, like, saying, well, I did this, I'm growing here. Let them talk about their growth and applaud that. Or don't say, like, oh, I told you so, that's what you should be growing on. Because, again, you have a plank in your eye, you have things you need to grow in, too. You're not the only, you said, when you're 40, you're not just done. So, it's a lot of just, you know, swallow your pride.
there's one thing about pots and plants. These are two plants that just showed up in my life. And there's nothing wrong with this cute little thing. But if you see it, there's not much room for it to grow. Like, and I could keep it in here. I could keep watering it. And it would probably look this like this for the rest of its existence. That'd be cute. But there's so much more in store for this if I take it and I begin to, like, break it up and put it in something and pack it in and then begin to see what will happen when the roots grow into something bigger than the vessel it just was. And one of the things is, I think we get comfortable in this vessel. We know exactly how much to water it. We know how exactly the sun to do it. But then when we transplant into a bigger place, that's scary. Are we going to die? And the same thing for us, as you told us so much. Sometimes it looks good. shameful Austin left some of the roots in the back, because I received this from Pastor Becca right when we started working together as a gift, because we both like, and I'm about to have to break this thing apart. Like, right? Like, this is, looks great on the outside, but I've destroyed it. And so what I'm worried about is if this will live. And this is the thing about taking care of one another, is to understand there are places where we feel comfortable, where we feel like we haven't been growing, or we've grown, but we feel like we've grown enough. And there's time for us to encourage one another to get into deeper soil, to somebody to bring us and to water us and to pack us into somewhere that's deeper, to go further out than we might go before, because it's scary. But then in that place of growth, we might be able, through the tending and caring of ourselves for the Lord and us and one another, we might be able to grow to the way that God has called us to grow and not just stay the same. And as we grow, there is a, I'll just say this. This is one thing that was thought about, and I want to end on this thought. As we like talking about this, we like talking about our lives as representation of plants. But one of the things that I didn't know, but when I moved here, and that the Bible does consistently, is it's talking about generational faith. One of the things that I learned when I came here is that when a tree has fell and begins to decompose, what is it called? Nurse log. Nobody in here wants to be a nurse log. But everyone should aspire to be. Because it means then you have generation upon generation of nourishment for the next and the next and the next. That your growth isn't just for you. It might be for your neighbor, for your coworker, family member. So I want to encourage you, continue. The invitation is to grow. And so would you join me in prayer? Father, thank you so much for this space and this place. Spirit, that you have spoken not only into our hearts, but through us. Holy Spirit, where are you speaking this morning? In the places that we are rooted and established, the places that we are growing and struggling to grow. Holy Spirit, where is there shame that needs to be undone? Where are lies that need to be awoken by the living water of your word? Holy Spirit, come, continue to speak. You're not bound by time or space. We ask this in your name. Amen.